For example, what happened last weekend in Berkeley, California, the police arrested the anti-fascist protesters, not the white supremacists, posted their names, their photos online. They haven't even been convicted.
No, I don't think it was that sort of thing where the police were protecting one side or the other. I think the police essentially
in Charlottesville.
I think the police in Charlottesville essentially abdicated their responsibility almost entirely.
Are going up to them saying, what are you doing?
Right. Because, look, we have had 50 years of, I would say, violent resistance against the Klan, against Nazis, against all these white supremacist groups. They come to the streets and they will meet heavy resistance. You know that. And so if you're law enforcement, you know the thing that I need to do is keep these two groups separated and make sure that people don't bring clubs, weapons, other sort of things that they're going to attack each other with. It's not that hard.
We just have 30 seconds. Susan Breaux, what do you want us to remember about Heather as we move into this next weekend, the anniversary of her death, another Unite the Right rally, this time in Washington, D.C.?
What I want you to remember is that everyone needs to stand up against hate. Everyone needs to pick up that baton. If you need information on how to do that, contact me at the Heather Heyer Foundation, and I will help you find ways to do that.
Susan Breaux, mother of Heather Heyer. She now runs the Heather Heyer Foundation. And A.C. Thompson, correspondent for Frontline PBS, reporter for ProPublica. His investigation documenting hate Charlottesville, the documentary, premieres tonight on PBS stations around the country. And that does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Has a job opening for a broadcast engineer. Check the website, democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Berkman, Nick Bells, Clark Mary Shea, Carla Rose, and Gabby Steiner. I'm Amy Goodman.
If you thought an apple a day was enough to keep the doctor away, the National Cancer Institute has news for you. According to the latest research, eating 5 to 9 servings of fruits and vegetables a day will promote good health and reduce your risk of certain cancers, heart disease, high blood pressure, and diabetes. Remember to eat colorful fruits and vegetables: yellow, orange, red, green, blue, purple, and white. Eating 5 to 9 servings of colorful fruits and vegetables a day is easier than you think. Drink a glass of 100% fruit juice at breakfast. Add a banana to your cereal. Eat a large green salad at lunch. Snack on carrots and raisins. Grab an apple for the ride home. And eat spinach or broccoli with dinner. Get started today. You'll be eating 5 to 9 in no time. For more information, tips, and recipes, visit the 5 a Day website at www.5aday.gov.
Yeah, that's right. Colorful Fruits. That's a great name for a band, I think. You know, Colorful Fruits. My name's Finn, and it is 6 p.m. on a Tuesday evening right here on WUSB Stony Brook, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for Off the Wall. And that's not it, but here it is.
Well, we just made a really cool stop. Oh, damn. Do we remember the name of the town?
Selfless.
Selfless. Okay, I can remember that one. Selfless. Okay. We were we stopped at Bobby Fischer the Racist Museum for a second. We didn't actually go in. We just looked at it. Bobby Fischer, the chess player, renowned racist. And then we had our GPS locate his grave, because apparently that's a thing too. It was really weird too, because we were driving down this road and our GPS said, in 900 meters you will arrive at the grave of Bobby Fischer. It just seems so spooky, and I'm wondering if like that's going to be a feature in the future, where you can just basically, you know, point to anybody that you want and it'll take you to the grave of that person. I assume it hasn't reached that stage yet, and the only reason that happened here is because he was somewhat of a celebrity, being a master chess player and all that. But yeah, he's buried by a church up in Selfoss, and okay, so I learned that too. And then we decided we wanted to get coffee somewhere, and there were a bunch of options. There was a KFC, there was a Subway, there was a Domino's, and none of that really rang out to us. We went to another place that looked like it was a cafe, but it was big and empty and kind of looked depressing. So then we turned around and went to a place which was really a home run as far as I'm concerned. It was a bookstore, but it was a bookstore and also a cafe, and it was like the perfect bookstore. All these hardcover books of years past, mostly in Icelandic, so many books in Icelandic, but a fair number in English as well. In fact, I was able to find an old edition of 1984, which I instantly purchased for Kyle, and a book on Icelandic horses. And Kyle, you found an Icelandic to English dictionary.
Yeah, I was looking through the language section, and I found a lot of like workbooks and things to learn the language. But some of the languages that I think are a little harder, I want to actually get dictionaries for. I have one for Dutch English, English Dutch, so you can go back and forth. And when I was a student, those were really helpful when you were trying to learn a language and reading. Whether you're traveling or just, you know, stumbling on words that you see that are signs, they're great resources to have. So I was looking through and I found one that was good. And of course, getting it in the local area is also good to know that it was printed by people that are native speakers. It's not going to have errors and of course I don't have to get it shipped or anything. So I was really just looking for that, and I was talking about languages earlier. So now I have two good dictionaries, one for Dutch and now Icelandic, which are kind of, you know, different languages, all Germanic, but strange nonetheless for someone from the English utopia that is America. We talk is English, and we're, you know, astounded at other languages. No, there are other ones based on our language, and we gotta, you know, dive into that, even if it's hard. I'm so sick of people saying you don't have to learn this.
And soon we'll be finding an edition of Faroese, the Faroe Islands language to English for you.
Also a Germanic derivative from the Old Nordic tongues. So
I didn't point out that a number of people who live there who probably speak this language could fit into any baseball stadium total in the
That's
world.
Right. Yeah, you said it's about 50,000, 20 being expats around the world in like 56 different countries or something crazy like that, but about 30 to 40,000 in that area on the island, which is amazing. Or on the islands, I'm sorry, the Faroe Islands, there's many of them. But it's incredible that the extent, the sort of diaspora of Faroese speakers is really, really around the world. You will probably overhear it, whether you know it or not.
I kind of doubt you'll overhear it. I mean, I don't know how many people are speaking it, especially people who aren't on the Faroe Islands anymore. But, you know, we're going to learn as much as we can about that place and about that language. But, hey, let's talk about the bookstore, because it was really cool. Not only was the coffee great, but it was just this amazing environment. We were looking for a cat. There was no cat that I could see, but, it's a perfect place for a cat. But all these old books and some new books, too. There was vinyl. We were kind of brainstorming about how these are things that need to be preserved. And we've seen in the States so many bookstores close, so many record stores close. What if it were a mandate that you had to sell books and vinyl records if you sold coffee? And you could have Wi-Fi too. But what if every single cafe also had books? People would be there forever because you always find interesting things. We did. You just wander through the shelves. You find old editions. You find something from your childhood. You find something new, something that opens up new doors for you. This is something we need to preserve. And everybody says that. Everybody says books are important. Everyone says vinyl records are awesome. Well, okay, you know, why not merge everything together? You know, Wi-Fi and coffee and all the things that are popular right now with things that are historic and that also are the backbone for all these things as well. There is so much that you could do, so much that you could hold on to, rather than just say, yeah, that's the way of the past, and, you know, it's not coming back. Books are forever. Vinyl is forever. History is forever, and this is a great way to kind of make it all something lasting. Okay, you know, we're joking around saying it should be a law, but, you know, what if it were just something that were really appealing? What if it was something that, you know, people just assumed if you have coffee and Wi-Fi, you also have hardcover books and vinyl records somewhere in the back, and I'm going to spend a whole lot of time here. If you merge these industries together, you know, the bookstores, the record stores, and the coffee shops, you could have something strong, something lasting. And yeah, sure, you'll probably sell more coffee. Yeah, you'll probably sell more coffee. You'll probably sell more Wi-Fi than books. But you're also holding on to something that really, really matters.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's so much that's been lost in the way baristas and cafes have gone in the last, I don't know, decade or two. I'm really speaking about phenomena like the bikini baristas. We've talked about that before. And just the to-go mentality where you just put a beautiful cup of coffee in paper and you suck it down and with your, you know, plastic straw or whatever, you don't take the time to enjoy it. It's just merely a reflexive function. It really diminishes the experience of coffee, and there are just so many bad coffee shops that have nothing. They have nothing other than, yeah, maybe some terrible Wi-Fi, a lot of people on laptops. And there's a place for old books to go instead of them just piling up in thrift stores or being relegated to time. There would be a network, or you could imagine a way to do that, that both the publishing and new and used media would thrive, as well as coffee places as a community. And we've really lost that, I think, with this like fast food mentality taking away those customers who might actually be fostering a bit of community and maybe enlightenment more. Well, so
There's a demand for coffee on the go. We realize that, and you know, paper cups for those people, sure. But there's also the people that want to linger a while, that want to have a place to hang out, discuss things, meet people, read, whatever. There's all sorts of, as Kyle's passing a garbage truck here, scaring the hell out of me. Okay, good, we did that. Is this a divided highway?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And it's the first I've seen of that in a long time. So, yeah, you know, we can have the disposable society, too, if that's all people have time for. But let's not forget there's also a demand for this kind of thing. And if we have the ability to kill two birds or even three birds with one stone, let's go for it.
No, agreed. It's there's something there. There's a niche, I think, that we're losing as we get to just more and more automated espresso machines and, you know, spending all our time online and cutting corners to make more time in ways that you really lose community, you lose the sort of the taste and the quality that so many cafes have provided in the past, whether it's ambiance or actual drinks, you know, down to the actual production.
And, you know, there've been ways that this has already happened. Like, for instance, every Barnes & Noble apparently has a Starbucks in it. So, you know, they can sort of see that, okay, it's a bookstore, we should have a coffee shop attached to it as well.
But only if it's blessed by, you know, the almighty corporate gods, you know, that such that it's a symbiotic, calculated corporate move.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be that way. There's all kinds of, my God, the sun is bright. It stays in your eyes all day. Slow it down, Kyle. Whoa. Okay, we are totally blind here. I can't see anything in front of me. Okay, this car's up there to the left.
Thankfully, no one is behind us.
Well, if they were behind us, they'd be as blind as we are.
I really regret using all that windshield fluid earlier.
I tried to tell you, you know, if you use all that, you're going to run out, and you ran out.
So we're basically cresting a hill that is entirely snowy.
All right, just take it really slowly, really slowly. And there's still nobody behind you, so you're good. You're okay on this side. We're holding our hands up so we can see, okay. Okay, you have a little bit of space on your right.
Okay.
All right, you're good. You're about to make a turn, so the sun will be out of your eyes in a second.
Oh my
this is
God.
Worse than I've ever seen.
Basically, our windshield had a bunch of mud and stuff, and with the light hitting it, we basically got completely blinded coming over that.
That was at least as scary as any time I slipped on a mountain. But wow. Thankfully, nobody was behind you while this was going on. But we're clear of it now, at least until the next time.
Wow.
Damn sun is still there. And it stays near the horizon all day long, so you're always guaranteed it'll be in your eyes if you're facing in its direction. If you're not facing its direction, it'll be in your rearview mirror, blinding you that way.
Okay.
All right, so so we were saying bookstores and record stores. And coffee shops. Yeah, you know, corporate America seems to recognize that, but we're talking about the more independent-minded places where you have, you know, things that are hard to find. You know, little tiny paperback books from someone's childhood that, hey, I got the same thing. I'm going to buy this because it brings back memories. You won't find that in a Barnes & Noble, but you might find that in a neighborhood bookstore. But a neighborhood bookstore probably won't be able to survive because of the fact that a Barnes & Noble opened up down the street. But maybe if it has a really cool coffee shop attached to it, in addition to the bookstore and the vinyl records, maybe then all that can survive. Well, there was one guy running this place, and he was really busy. And he was basically juggling coffee and books and records, but he was doing a really good job. He told us that this place really survives by being a publisher themselves. They publish books. So, hey, that works too, you know. People want to have books published, and that's another way to keep it alive.
And isn't that something that's so familiar to us, just having a lot of different things that you're doing to make a living, to just be diverse and active in everything you can, all your interests, you know, as long as it makes sense, you're not extending yourself, but you know, it's such that you're crippled, but that you're just really supporting all your interests with just a plethora of activity.
Now we're on a snow-caked road as we approach the top of a mountain, and you have an 18-wheel truck behind you, which I'm sure isn't making you comfortable. So I'm going to keep you from talking, because when you talk, you also gesture with one of your hands.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's not something that we need right now. So keep both your hands on the steering wheel, 10 and 2, thank you. Let's just keep plodding up this hill until this weather hazard disappears. Imagine if the sun gets in your eyes now with a slippery road. Fortunately, there's nothing coming down out of the sky. But this is not for the faint of heart. I gotta tell you that.
We just basically came up, you know, 1,000 feet or so, or maybe 2,000, a huge hill, and we're in the mountains. I mean, this is frozen. There is nothing but snow around us, and more mountains. So it's just amazing how quickly the terrain changes.
If you can avert your eye from straight ahead for a second to look at the temperature on the dashboard, tell us what it is.
-1.
-1 Celsius. So it's just below freezing. The road is most likely icy. There is now space for someone to pass you if that 18-wheel truck decides to pass you. And if he does that, I suggest slowing down so that, you know, whenever they pass you or come at you, you always get blinded for a couple of seconds by all the snow they kick up. But instead, you're picking up speed, and I notice we're doing about 100 kilometers an hour. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that.
Well, I don't want to give him ideas.
Right, well, he's coming up a hill, so I don't think he's going to be passing you.
Well, if we stop this little chit-chat, maybe I could get back to driving, and that wouldn't be a possibility.
What is that directly ahead of you that looks like a snowplow?
It is a snowplow, but it's in the opposite side. This is divided still, so he's not in our side yet.
It's a massive, like, bulldozer type thing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's one of the ones with blades in the front.
And he's not moving. He's just kind of parked there, but man, that's big.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like a huge snowblower.
So, all right, so we seem to have crested on the top of this thing for now, which means, by the way, we're going to be going down, and that means we're going to be going down a slippery road. Maybe we want to slow it down just a little bit. Here's an attraction. People are parked on the side, taking pictures and looking at something. There's a sign there. It looks just like a lot of snow to me, but you know what? Let them do what they want to do. We're less than 100 kilometers from Reykjavik, and hopefully we'll be there in an hour or so, if not less. Actually, our GPS says we'll be there in 32 minutes. I am looking forward to one of those hot dogs. And other things, too, just walking around the city. The city! I'm just into being in the city. We've been driving around this country, seeing, you know, very small cities and big towns, I guess. But not a whole lot beyond that. And our day is pretty much done at 9 o'clock. It's amazing how quickly we fall into that routine. But we're tired by 10. We wake up at the crack of dawn. Well, actually, that's kind of a misleading statement, because the crack of dawn here is about 10:30 in the morning, but we are up at like 6 or 7, so that's pretty amazing. Very different, you know. We have no problem at all when breakfast is available, when we travel, making it. You know, if it's like between 7 and 9, we're there. Back home, we struggle to make brunch by 3:30 p.m. So it's just kind of interesting. But this is it's like a lunar landscape. If there was snow on the moon. We're going down a rather gradual decline now, and I think we're doing about 65 kilometers an hour. Road looks good. It's deceptive sometimes. You feel like you're on a sheet of ice, and actually there is some grit, maybe a little bit of sand on the road. So as long as you maintain your speed, and oh, there's the sun again getting in the back now in the rearview mirror. And there's a sign of things ahead, so we have that to look forward to. A church, people walking, shelter, that kind of thing. But we'll be at the bottom of this pretty soon, and I see more traffic ahead, so I think we'll be all right. But that could change in the next 10 minutes. All right, that's it for now.
Þegar Íslandingar fögnuðu árunni 1974 var það að því leyti til með öðrum hætti en gengur og gerist að nú var ofarlega í hugum manna þjóðhátíðar árið sem í hönd fór. Þessa var sumstaðar mist sérstaklega strax á gamlárskvöld, en í Reykjavík var ákveðið að upphaf hátíðahalda í tilefni af landnámi í Reykjavík skyldi verða á þrettándakvöld. Það leyti eru álfar, huldufólk og aðrar þjóðsagnapersónur meira ferli en ella, og kvöldi því ákjósanlegt til þess að ná samstillingu með mannfólkinu og hinum huldufættum sem landið byggja og eiga ekki síður rétt á að minnast búsetu sinnar hér en aðrir. Í rauninni fátt betur til þess fallið að varpa ljósi á sögu þjóðarinnar en þetta huldufólk. Því að ég eðli...
Oh, I just saw a custom plate, AK.
Well, that was it, the whole thing?
Yeah,
two letters?
Yeah, whole license plate, AK.
That's pretty custom. We're very lucky. All right, so that might be Reykjavik up ahead. Oh,
yeah.
I said it your way. Reykjavik. You know what? Whatever. That might be the capital city up ahead.
Reykjavik.
Yeah. Well, this has been... Okay, the road's better now.
Yeah, this is much better.
It was really scary before. That 18-wheeler finally passed us and honked at us as he did, and it was really intimidating. But you got to experience a little bit of what I was driving in the first part of this trip, which was like a icicle road, and it's just no good way to do it, especially if you don't have those those things in your tires.
Studded tires, yeah. And the roads are maintained. Don't get me wrong; they have these giant snowblower attachments that they're putting on front loading, bulldozers, heavy equipment, and they are using that. But the kinds of, like, grit and I would say salt, but that's not even it. Just a little bit of, like, broken rock would be great. None of that. I mean, I guess it's just not a priority, or everyone does have studded or four-wheel drive. We don't. We have analog brakes and traction control, but it's front wheel. So I can't really downshift. I have to kind of let off slowly, and if I do that too violently, then we kind of lose control, and you can feel it. You feel the back of the car starting to sway and as a fishtail, as they say. And I was getting that even on the straightaways up there, so it was really icy.
But, you know, when I was freaking out about this a couple of days ago, I remember you telling me because of the kind of braking system we have that I was not going to fishtail.
Well, I was confident that if you had to stop, you would stop a lot more reliably, but I wasn't denying that we would, you know, lose control if you were going fast. You weren't going very fast either, so that helps maintain control. Here, I was going 80, you know, just a little under the speed limit, but, you know, maybe 60 or 50 would have been better. It's a little hard when a fuel truck is about, you know, 15 feet behind you.
Yeah, that guy was not helping. Okay, so, you know, it's kind of the home stretch now. The road is clearer, so that's good. It was not like this 5 minutes ago, and who knows what it'll be like in another 5 minutes. Since we were in Reykjavik last, we don't know what's happened there. But when we started, it was pretty snowy on the ground, but that it might have melted, or there might be more snow. There might be more snow after this.
There were two earthquakes while we were gone. There's a fair amount of volcanic activity, and in fact, the country hotel that we stayed at was very near one of the mountains that is active, and they experienced one earthquake around 3 on the Richter scale near the Blue Lagoon, which is actually more inland and near Reykjavik. But the place where we stayed on the coast between Hof and Vik was actually this massive mountain that they are expecting may become active this year. It hasn't been active since about 1325, and then the other time it erupted was in around 1700 or the 18th century. So it's due, and it's one of the top 10 volcanoes that they're expecting some activity from this year. Thankfully, we never really stayed under it, and we were always about 30 kilometers away, but it was something interesting to read as we were settling in Vik. I just was curious what kind of news was out there, and apparently these are some things that they're watching now. We traveled once, or tried to travel a couple years ago when they did have an eruption, so it's no small matter around here.
Yeah, if you're staying near a volcano, I just wonder how much time you have when it starts erupting. You know, is that it, or do you have like a couple hours to get your stuff and get out of there?
The lava that is spewed out moves very quickly. It will be expelled and then also roll down the hill very, very quickly. But the secondary effect is mudslides, because what happens is the heat melts a lot of the glacial formations and snow. So you end up with mudslides and other kinds of flooding.
Go straight on.
Thank you, GPS, for that. All right, well, we are approaching the city now. You're behind some kind of a tractor. I don't know. I guess he's going highway speed, too.
Yep, they have...
700 meters. At the roundabout, go straight on.
They have the right-of-way. They can drive on the road. This is a town sign for Reykjavik. Reykjavik.
Yeah, one of those village signs that tell you you're entering a city. So I guess from this point on, we're in the city, which is great. We've done it. We've made the round the country trip. Ow! High five. Okay, wait a minute. There we go. Took 3 attempts for us to do a high five. What the hell's wrong with us?
Well, it's left-handed. I'm right-handed. It's,
and also, you're driving at the same time. But man, that must have looked really awkward to people watching us.
That was a little nerdy.
Yeah. At least we didn't hit one of our faces. That would have sucked.
Ow. Hit hard.
Well, I mean it when I do a high five.
That's, damn, especially on the third try.
Don't try a fist bump with me unless you're prepared for the scars.
All right, I'm going straight on.
Go straight on.
All right. It's good that you can know what she's going to say. Just, yeah, don't try and pass the tractor here. He knows what he's doing.
Really? Got studded tractor tires. And No tractors.
No tractors on this road.
7:30 to 9:30 and 1500 to 8:30 or 1830.
18.1 kilometers. Keep left on 249, Reykjavik 41, Keflavik Airport.
So it's 1529. So he actually had another minute to be on this road, but opted not to because it's almost the no tractor time.
That's weird. He did spend some time looking at the sign too, so I guess he knew it was close.
Indeed, indeed. Oh man, wow. It's nice to be back.
Nice to be back in the big city.
I also read an article when I was reading about news that Reykjavik is the most lit. Yeah, I said it. Reykjavik's lit. And what I mean by that is it's got all kinds of streetlights. There's a photographer who did a series during the winter, over the last couple winters, of darkness in this city and contrasting it with the artificial lighting. I think it was a series called Sodium Sun. Basically, at the time of year when there is no light in this area, the artificial lighting is pretty much it. But it's a city that has more artificial lighting than even a place like New York. And that is exemplified by things like walking trails with streetlights and odd bicycle trails and so on outside and in the sort of places that would be in the shadows. But here, they've actually designed it such that those things are lit in consideration of those moments in the year.
Okay, so this is significant because we are just now getting off of Route 1. Route 1 is continuing to the north. If we wanted to go around Iceland again, that's what we do. But now we are going to the left and we are off the Ring Road and onto a local road going into the city.
Wow, how about that?
So I guess now would have been a better time to do the high five because we've officially done the whole circle. But you know what? It's an accomplishment, regardless of when we celebrate. And I look forward to the next challenge, which I guess will be finding parking near the hotel.
It's 6.2 kilometers. Exit on 240, Keflavik Airport, Lemuel. Though he's siphoning all my sex, don't she says?
Ain't Suðurland FM. Frá Suðurlandi til Suðurlands.
Time flies by when the night is young. Daylight shines on an undisclosed location. Location. Bloodshot eyes looking for the sun. Paradise delivered and we call it a vacation. Vacation.
We're here with our friend Johan in Reykjavik. Thank you very much for welcoming us to your town.
Yeah, thank you.
And you're a listener to Off the Wall, right?
Yeah, I've been listening for maybe 2 years.
Wow, that's really cool. So we just pretty much finished our drive around the whole country, and it really was amazing. You've done it too, though. You've driven across the Ring Road.
Yeah, a couple of times, but only in the summer. But yeah, I've done also like hiking and stuff. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Does everybody in Iceland pretty much do that at some point?
Maybe. But at least people I know do it.
Yeah, it seems like something that, you know, is familiar, that, you know, if you want to get around, you're going to end up on that road since it's the main transit route. We're wondering if you can go across too.
There are at least two roads that go, but they are like mountain roads, F
roads. Yeah. They told us we're not allowed to drive on F roads.
No, it's only for like four-wheel drives.
Okay. Well, we've been pretty cautious so far as far as how we drive. What else would you recommend we do while we're here?
I don't know. I tried to see the aurora.
We want to see the aurora. It keeps eluding us. We keep trying to see it, and it's either raining or it's just not around. How many times have you seen it?
I've lost count.
Wow, that's how it is here in Iceland. Wow, people see it all the time.
It's almost boring, right? It's not even. Just forget it. Yeah, okay.
Did I mention we saw a total solar eclipse?
When?
Last year we saw the total solar eclipse.
Oh yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
So
we're trying to make you jealous.
I'm very jealous. I've never seen that.
Yeah, it's, we see it all the time, you know. It's just,
we saw it once, and probably it's the only time we're ever going to see it. But it still was really, really cool. Johan, let me ask you this. Now we've noticed driving around and being in this country for a week, how expensive everything is. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, something everybody always talks about. But as a native, as somebody who lives here, are things expensive, or is that just something that foreigners notice?
No, they are expensive.
They are expensive. So everybody's having a hard time paying for things.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's getting better.
You mean things are getting cheaper, or people are just collecting more money?
I think so. Some things are getting cheaper there.
Yeah, we noticed like there are like good deals if you find like happy hour is a big thing. You know, you can get like half price on drinks or something like that. But if you're careful, you can find good, you know, totally affordable, great deals and stuff. But you have to be careful, you know, because there's plenty of stuff that's, you know, a little bit pricier. And
I've heard companies have different strategies in European countries, and Icelandic people like their deals, like two for one and things.
You know what's a really good deal? Something we discovered, those hot dogs they sell on the street here. You ever have those?
Oh, yeah.
They're like crunchy. I don't know what it is they do, but they're amazing. We were dreaming about those.
Yeah, I had one yesterday.
Right, you can't. We had one before, and we're going to have one again later, I'm pretty sure. We're going to try to have as many as possible.
Yeah, we're going to have one for dessert after dinner. But those are like amazing, and it's like it's just such a simple thing. Great street food, and I don't know. The other thing that we noticed was, or we thought, is how does it work with the other parts of Europe? Maybe there could be like a trade thing where people in Europe help, like, you know, lower the cost of things here. That's, I think, kind of what you said with like companies having different schemes. Seems like there could be some cooperative, because like we were just in Romania and Moldova. Yeah. Things are so cheap there. Same with former Yugoslavia. A couple years ago we went there. But it is kind of odd how the currencies, even within the European Union, can be so wildly different.
Romania, okay, they give you a bunch of bananas, and they normally sell them for, say, 30 cents. But you sell them for $50, and then you give them $40, and then they make money, and then before you know it, they're charging a lot of money for bananas.
Yeah, it's like a very huge difference in buying power between the countries.
Yeah, as you can see, we know absolutely nothing about economics, but
we're not experts at all.
No, it doesn't stop us from trying to inject our opinion, though.
But the krona has been getting stronger, and the ratio is just very good. It was very low, 10 years ago.
Well, and we noticed there's a lot of really good homegrown stuff here in Iceland that you can't find in other parts of the world. But slowly, you know, maybe other markets are going to support those things and increase the wealth here in the country. We noticed this company Iceland, it's a supermarket, but it's also in the UK and in Europe.
We didn't know that. We noticed Iceland in the UK. We never heard of it here.
It is a UK company, but
it's a UK company, but it's named Iceland.
Yeah, there is maybe.
You see why I'm confused by that?
There is some legal thing going on between the country Iceland and the company.
We saw one of them here. We saw an Iceland, a very small one. Somewhere on the road from the airport. But do they have many stores here?
Maybe 2-3, maybe.
Well, you should open a store called England, just to show them.
Yeah, I mean, it's just even though.
So you're telling me that Iceland is not from Iceland, it's from England, but they're using Iceland, and when we pass by an Iceland in Iceland, it's England.
Yeah.
I understood that.
I can see why they're getting into a legal dispute with them.
Well, it might be like an Icelandic company with a franchise.
Well, the reason it got our attention was because in England they were going nuts over the fact that they just announced they're going to remove all plastics from their store. Yeah. Everything will be biodegradable. And we said, what an Icelandic thing to do. But they're not even Icelandic.
No. Yeah. They have a... Yeah, but they have tried something about this biodegradable bags, but I don't know, they haven't caught on.
Wow. You know, so it's winter. It's January. It's probably not winter when we're listening to this on the radio, but right now it's dark out. It's not as dark as we thought it would be during the day, but there's a lot less tourists here now, right?
Maybe after the New Year's, there was a lot of people here.
For New Year's?
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah.
So when is the time when there's the least tourist here?
Probably this time. Yeah.
Okay, good. Then we're here at the right time.
Is tourism, do you think, is it a problem or is it good? Because I read some news that it's causing all kinds of havoc and there's people that are against it or just they want it to be controlled. And as tourists ourselves, we noticed a lot of tourists that seem kind of annoying. And, you know, they drive crazy,
stop in the middle of the road to take a picture. It's a highway. There's a truck behind them, and they're taking a picture of a bird.
I almost got in a head-on collision because a lady had parked in the middle of the road to photograph something. They're, running out in the middle of the street. There was a car coming up behind her, and I was about to hit it. I had to stop so he could get around me. It was crazy. But there's a problem because of these low airfares and stuff?
Maybe a little bit, but not really. But I don't see a big problem with it. Yeah.
Well, that's very gracious of you. We're annoyed by them, and we're constantly running into them, and they're getting in our way.
They do seem to have it under control. There's always consideration for tourists being tourists, and you know, they have plenty of signs to warn them of their own stupidity.
Yeah. Hey, so, Johan, where would you like to go? We'll talk about that, but I mean in the world.
In the world? I'm not sure. Maybe mainland Europe, Germany, Berlin maybe.
Yeah. How about Greenland?
Yeah. That would be fun. But there are no roads there.
No road, but there's a boat that goes up the coast, I understand.
Yeah. Road, there are only planes and boats.
Wow. We definitely want to go there and do some radio from Greenland as well.
And maybe see the aurora there.
Either the aurora doesn't exist or we're just never going to see it.
I think we're trying too hard. We have to not care. We have to be like Johan here with just sort of, you know what, it'll happen, you know, when it happens, and it's not anything to be excited about.
What time of day does it tend to happen?
Around midnight.
Around midnight, okay.
Yeah, I get alerts from that app around that time.
Like, no, we got some alerts from the app, but it was in the middle of the night and it was also raining, so I don't know what it was thinking.
We have to be better tuned to it so that we're really alert for the message.
It's just, it requires a clear sky. Yeah, it's hard to get that.
Yeah, we haven't had really very many clear skies. We had a couple, but then the aurora wasn't around. We'll see it at some point. We'll just keep trying. Johan, I want to thank you very much for helping start a 2600 meeting in Reykjavik, for one thing, and just for having the hacker spirit and for living in an awesome place.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Já, við erum komin til ársins 1974.
Það árið sem við mistum setuna.
Já, þá voru ekki allir sáttir með það í byrjun árs.
Alþingi logaði.
Allt vitlaust á samfélagsmiðlunum. Nei, ég segi nú bara svona. En ýmsir óttuðist jafnvel framtíð lands og þjóðar ef setan yrði felld og gildi.
En það varð nú samt. Þjóðin hélt velli og nú setuna bara að finna hjá Sófóníasi og í vest.
Well, we're in the last few minutes of our trip to Iceland. Well, actually, not really, because we still have to drive to the airport. That's going to take an hour, and then we have a couple hours to wait for our plane. And then we got... Well, it's going to take a little while, but it's our last few moments here in Reykjavik, and it's been a blast.
It certainly has.
We went to Look at that, someone's running with the flag now. There's people with a communist flag outside the church, this massive church here in the middle of town. And they're just running with it. That's the kind of thing you see in the city. You see all kinds of wackiness.
They're filming with a drone.
Wow. So amazing. In any minute now, probably about 5 minutes, that church is going to ring the hour of one. In fact, we have yet to go inside it. I'm very curious what it's like. I hear it's a Lutheran church.
Yeah, a friend of ours told us, Johan, in fact, I believe, told us that it was Lutheran, and there's several other churches in town that he was pointing out. So this one is, of course, the largest and most iconic. And we don't know when it was made. We don't know anything about the interior. It's probably pretty standard church architecture, but you know, we get to explore it just before we go on our way.
Yeah, about 100 feet away, we can answer those questions, or we could just visit a Wikipedia page and find out too. But right now, it's kind of a mystery to us. It's just this massive, it looks like concrete structure. You know, I just realized this too. Looking at it, it's kind of shaped like a pipe organ.
Yeah, a little bit. It's got a bit of a bell curve to it, with like an ascending slope and a descending slope as you go from right to left or left to right.
It's on top of a hill. It really stands out. It's a marker in this town. One of many incredible things. Anyway, yesterday we went out into the countryside to the secret lagoon. My first experience in such a place. As a result, though, I've lost a hearing in one of my ears because this thing known as swimmer's ear you get sometimes. I kind of knew that was going to happen, so it's going to take a couple of days. And I get to fly today, too, so that's going to be extra fun. Even with that, it was just really, really cool to be under the evening sky as the sun finally set and the stars slowly came out. Just to be in this hot water where it's really, really cold outside, but really, really warm in the water.
Yeah, it's sort of a paradox. You get this steam rising from these volcanic, outpour or place where it escapes. I guess it's like a vent of these geothermal phenomena, and that sort of overflows from one pool into this larger pool because apparently the pool it flows into is very hot, so it cools a bit as it travels into the swimming area, and we just floated around. We stayed in there for a pretty long time, like about an hour and a half, which is more, I think, than they recommend, but we felt all right, so it was quite enjoyable.
Yeah, I didn't realize they recommended only an hour until after we got out, but it felt right. It felt right to be in there for that amount of time.
Well, we weren't drinking either, and there were people like drinking wine and having all kinds of refreshments while they were in there. But it was enough for me to just take it in and float around, and I hadn't been swimming in a while. That was kind of different.
Yeah, I was amazed at how quickly I sank. You know, it's been, honestly, maybe over 10 years since I even tried to swim. And you told me that fresh water, you don't float as easily, so that made me feel a little bit better, because, you know, I thought I'd just be able to, you know, lie on my back and float like I used to, and I didn't. You know, with practice, you get better, so maybe I should just... But, you know, this whole losing hearing in one ear thing kind of doesn't make it appealing. So I have some negotiation to do with water and swimming and things like that. Hey, we have the bells coming up any minute now, so I don't want to talk over it, so I'm going to just hold the microphone here. Hopefully the cars won't drown it out. Wow, the church has just struck one. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Do you realize we started traveling exactly 1 month ago today?
Nope.
Well, we did. December 25th, it's now January 25th.
Yeah, I'm kind of sick of it.
Well, it's a good time to be sick of it because we're going back now.
Yay.
All right, we did it. We made it to the actual airport terminal. We're sitting waiting for our flight to be announced. We noticed that there's a flight that goes to Newark that leaves at the exact same time as our flight to JFK, and we just wonder how that works, if they fly next to each other, or one goes ahead and then the other goes ahead, or I don't know, they must see each other the whole time.
Yeah, I'm sort of guessing that the actual liftoff and, you know, clearance and stuff is a little different than boarding and the sort of general departure times they list.
Yeah, it's the same airline, too. That's what's crazy.
It's just a theory.
Yeah. So this, maybe somebody knows more about how airlines and airports work and advise us on this. I just tried to get a doctor's appointment for my ear, and they wanted $300 just to see me. I realized I should have just gotten it done here, because they charge about the same amount for having, you know, absolutely no coverage whatsoever, being a foreigner, and you probably get a lot more services. I'm just going to see if this thing clears up on its own, because maybe the airplane flight will knock it back into shape. Maybe it just takes a few days. I don't know. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, it's important, you know, to listen to your symptoms and your body. If it's excruciating and, you know, unbearable, then, you know, you're gonna have to get through it on the plane. It's not ideal, but we'll do everything we can. I think you've been doing everything that was suggested. We tried all kinds of different tricks, but it can be, you know, kind of annoying. I get really terrible pain in my left ear because I can't relieve the pressure as easily as one of my one or the other. I think it's the right ear that's easier.
See, I have no pain, but I read on the internet where the pain can be excruciating on an airplane. So I took, you know, two painkillers. In fact, I'm going to ask you for a third painkiller to take so I can have that on the airplane. And hopefully that will shield me from anything unpleasant. Yeah, not to end on a down note, because it's really just, it's a pain not being able to hear out of one ear. But I have another one, and that's not a problem. We wound up returning the car, no problems. We actually walked around town a bit because our flight isn't until late afternoon. So we had time to walk into the massive cathedral, the church, and we even had time to walk downtown and get a hot dog afterwards. Boy, those hot dogs are good.
Oh, I enjoy them. One thing about the church is it has two organs.
Yes.
They're really beautiful. One was in the front, and then the other one in the back. It sort of has like a remote control keyboard, so you can move the keyboard around, I guess. And there's like this big cable. We took all kinds of pictures. It was really interesting to see, but it was very minimalist.
not a lot of ornate. I think there was one tiny little stained glass thing, but very interesting, very modern, very Scandinavian, I guess, Nordic in design.
Yeah, it seemed to be built entirely out of concrete and very, very tall.
Yeah, it was interesting. But yeah, no, we made our way downtown, got some more dogs, and just kind of slowly made our way back and packed up. And it's really a short trip. It's like 40 kilometers to the airport. So for all the driving we did on this trip, it was really nothing. And then we went through security, did all our normal airport stuff, and here we are.
And in fact, our flight is boarding right now. You can see people lining up. I don't really see a point of standing. Oh, wait, they're moving. So maybe we should get up and walk over there. So that's going to pretty much do it for us here. I guess we can sign off. It must be summertime when you're listening to this. We had a great time in Iceland in the winter. So by all means, you know, check it out in the wintertime. Doesn't have to be in the summer.
And hopefully you're preparing and on your way to Hope.
Well, no, they should be on their way back from Hope, because I think this is airing after Hope. But I'm not sure. It could be airing before Hope. Maybe we'll go somewhere else and want to have a show to air while we're away before Hope.
Well, write us in. Tell us how Hope went, or what you're excited about when you go to Hope. But don't ever stop having hope.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. That's a good note to end on. All right. Never stop having hope. Well, actually, you should say it, because it's your tag.
Oh, come on. You're making it right, so awkward.
All right, I have to sign off. For Off the Wall, this is Emmanuel.
And this is Kyle.
And now you say it.
Don't ever stop having hope.
Sjá vindurinn þýtur en veröldin snýst. Já, vegurinn styttist við dauða þú býst. Og fyrr en þú veist að þá blæsum þín bein. En bárurnar gulla við stein. Það tekur því ekki að trillast og þreytast, tímarnir líða og breytast. Sjá skáldin þau yrkja og spekingar spá, já sperktu upp augun og reyndu að sjá, hvar skórin að kreppir hver skylda þín er. Skylda sem kemur og fer. Það tekur því ekki að trillast og þreytast, tímarnir líða og breytast. Sjá dottandi þingmenn á dvala ég veg. Það duga skattsvegg minn til átaka reg. Skortir að rétta fram hjálpandi vönd til hrópand á ókunnri strönd. Það tekur því ekki að trillast og þreytast, tímar til líða og breytast. Sjá eiturlið þverra og ánægjan knýr. Æsku til dáða því tónninn er nýr. Í hörpunni skálsins í huga og sál hljómar nú friðarins smál. Það tekur því ekki að trillast og þreytast, tímarnir líða og tíminn er liðin sem torði í gær. Og tíminn á morgun nú færist á snær. Já, einn er að fæðast er annar burt fer. Því að eilím í unginn er. Það tekur því ekki að trillast og þreytast, tímarnir lína og lifa.
Yeah, the times they are a-changin' indeed. This is WUSB Stony Brook.
Ahoy, fellow boater!
Who are you?
I'm your safety pirate. I'll be joining you on board your ship today, matey.
You will?
Aye. Now, why aren't you wearing your life jacket?
Because I haven't launched my boat yet.
What's in the thermos? It's liquor, ain't it? Drunken boating's against the law, you know.
It's coffee.
What does the orange diamond on a buoy stand for, eh?
Danger.
Have you taken a boating safety course?
Yep.
Who played the skipper on Gilligan's Island?
Alan Hale, Jr.
This message is from the National Safe Boating Council, who wants you to be safe when you're out on the water. Isn't that what you want? So take a boating safety course, wear your life jacket, and watch out for other boaters.
And remember to boat smart from the start, matey!
Friends, this is Finn. It's Finn's Revolution right here until the 9 p.m. hour on WUSB Stony Brook. And tonight we have a very special program. We have Michael from the Refusers, revolutionary West Coast rockers, and New York City plumber, union activist Mark Belli talking about some unfair practices. Stay tuned. Yeah, so this is brand new from the Refusers from their brand new record, Disobey. Strap in, kids. Yeah, that's brand new from The Refusers from their album Disobey, playing with fire, some hard rock revolutionary music right there. And here's another one from their debut album, Disobey. And we'll be talking to The Refusers' chief songwriter and singer, Michael Belkin, in just a few moments. So stay tuned. And this is called Why Do They Lie? By The Refusers right here on WUSB Stony Brook. Yeah. So that was Why Do They Lie by The Refusers from their brand new record, Disobey. Really cooks, rocks, does all of the above. And we're lucky enough to have Michael Belkin of The Refusers right now on the air. A very powerful record, a very powerful band. Michael, can you hear us?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
It's great to have you on the air, my friend. I love this record.
Oh, cool. Great.
Yeah, completely rocks. And let's obviously you guys are a bit of a political band, which I can completely relate to. And it's a beautiful thing. And I love the songs. I love the writing. I love everything about it. But let's talk a little about, for those who haven't learned about it otherwise, talk a little bit about the history of your... Let's talk about your musical history a bit first. You've been playing for a while, right?
Yeah. So I was actually a studio musician in L.A. I made my living, you know, in quote, in so-called living. I mean, any musician sort of takes a vow of poverty, you know, but I managed to pay the bills for a while. And then I went to UC Berkeley, and you know, I decided I kept playing with bands and stuff around in the Bay Area, and the motto of the Haas School where I went at UC Berkeley is challenge the status quo. Okay, you know, the old Berkeley motto, but you know, I've really tried to do that in this album and in my musical career. You know, I'm not a big fan of the musical status quo. If you turn, a lot of what gets played now is kind of slick, overproduced, hard-tuned vocals, and it's designed with a lot of kind of hooks to get people in and listen to it and get a lot of spins really quick and then be forgotten, you know.
Right.
So
disposable.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And so this, I just think that there's a lot going on in the world that isn't getting put into music. And as one person told me, you know, this is not like the kind of music you want to put on and make love with your partner or something. You know, this is not, well, there's a couple songs in here maybe like that.